我们今天继续看主的话语，就是主耶稣基督的话语，在马太福音第五章第27节到30节。 Today we continue to study together the teaching of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 verses 27 to 30. I say again and again that we have not come here to listen to the preaching of a man, to listen to human ideas, but to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus himself. We read today Matthew chapter 5, the Lord's teaching in Matthew 5, 27 to 30. 马太福音第五章第27节到30节。我先用中文念。你们听见有话说，不可奸淫，只是我告诉你们，凡看见妇女就动淫念的，这人心里已经与她犯奸淫了。若是你们的右眼叫你跌倒，就挽出来丢掉，宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身丢在地狱里。若是你右手叫你跌倒，就砍下来丢掉，宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身下入地狱。用英文第Matthew 5:27-30 reads like this. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. 这里主耶稣的教训内容是非常丰富，那么我们希望在这个短短的时间里面可以一起来研究。 The Lord's teaching in this passage is exceedingly rich, and in the time that we have, we will seek to see what the Lord has to teach us in these words. Now first let us be clear, because in studying the teaching of the Lord Jesus, we must look exactly at the words.And then secondly, understand the spiritual principles that the Lord is expounding or instructing us with. Here the Lord Jesus says, if anybody looks at a woman so as to possess her in a lustful sort of way, that person has already committed adultery with her in his heart. No matter what the seventh commandment says, that you shall not commit adultery, that is true. But what is adultery? Is it only the physical act that is adultery? Or is adultery already commenced in the heart? Now everybody knows that no sin would have been committed if it were not already first in the heart. As James says, it is that which is first conceived of in the heart and then brought forth, that then is sin.So sin always starts in the heart. 我们仔细看主耶稣的话语的时候，看看主耶稣跟我们这里说的是什么。主耶稣说，如果一个人他的眼睛看着一个妇女，心里面已经怀淫念在那边，这个人已经犯了奸淫。为什么？因为所有的罪是从心里面而犯的。你能够实行这个罪，你的实行这个意念不能实行这个意念，不过是机会的问题，有机会就犯，没有机会就不能犯。但是这个犯已经，这个意念已经在心里面，就等于可以犯。譬如说很多人不犯外表的罪，就是因为社会上的这个律法或者社会上的这一种情形，使得他们不能把这个罪犯出来，就是失去那个机会。但是主耶稣说，如果你没有这个机会来犯这个罪，是不是等于不犯了？你知道人呢，这个罪都藏在心里面，如果给他一个机会来犯罪， 他一定会放。我常常想到日本人到中国来的时候，他们什么罪恶都做得出，但是你到日本的时候去看看这些日本人呢，他非常客气啊，你看见日本人比我们中国人更客气，整天在那儿鞠躬鞠躬啊，真是厉害。我看见两个人在上海的时候鞠躬啊，在门口就鞠躬，再见再见，这两个人就倒退，这个一直在鞠躬，越走越远，在那还在鞠躬，鞠躬到什么地步，就是两个人已经看不见了，就是在这个绕了那个墙外面去了，他在最后一次鞠躬，再站起来就看不见了，这样他就转来就走了。哈，我想这两个人呢、有这样的礼貌彼此相待，但是在中国呢，什么恶都做得出，什么罪都犯得出，这是什么原因？在日本人他们也没有强奸妇女，也没有杀人放火，怎么跑到中国来杀人放火呢？因为这个罪已经在心里面，在日本的时候，因为这个社会的情形，这个罪就放不出来，不敢做出来，但是罪已经在心里面。那么是不是因为他没有机会犯这个罪，所以他比别人更好呢？不是，主耶稣说，你在心里面犯的罪，在神的眼光已经是罪，因为神就是看着你的心，不但能看着你的外表。You must therefore understand that sin is a matter of the heart. Because whether we commit a sin or not is simply a matter of opportunity. We may not have the opportunity to commit a sin, does not mean that we would not commit that sin. And the Lord Jesus is saying, God looks upon your heart. The fact that you did not commit a sin may only prove that you did not have the occasion, the opportunity to commit it. But granted the occasion, you would have done so, because the sin is already there in your heart.So we must, as the Lord Jesus says, wipe away the superficial notion that only sin actually committed is sin, that sin of the heart is not sin. The Lord Jesus says, not so. God looks on your heart. And I often think of the Japanese who, when they came to China, committed every manner of sin. Were the Japanese people worse people than anyone else? Not at all. And in their own country, they do not commit more sins than anyone else. The crime rate in Japan is not worse than anywhere else.Then why, when they came to China, they behaved like animals? What is it? Because now, what society had prevented them from doing, the fear of the police, the fear of the law, the fear of society, the fear of other people's criticism, the fear of other people's opinion of you, those prevent a lot of sins from blossoming forth, if you could speak of it like this way. But take away the restrictions, take away the pressure,And then see what happens. Everybody becomes like wild animals. The same is true of everybody. There is no exception to this. When I go to England, I see the English people behave decently and in order, a law-abiding people, generally speaking, polite, courteous, like everyone else. But, you know what they did when they went to Egypt? Do you know what they did in 1956?Well, you would hardly dare to contemplate the things that they did and the things, the crime and the evil that was perpetrated. Why? Because now they are in a foreign country. The restrictions of the law have been removed. And these people who in one society would behave in another way, behave quite differently in another society. We all know also how so many American soldiers behave in Southeast Asia. It is well known throughout the whole of Southeast Asia. But are the Americans worse people than anyone else? Not at all. Are they worse than us? Are the Japanese worse? Are the British worse? Of course not. We deceive ourselves if we think so. Because granted that we were in a similar position, under the same pressures, with the social norms, the social mores, the social restrictions removed,You dare not think what you would be capable of doing. So the Lord Jesus looks deep beyond the purely superficial restrictions of society, and he looks into the heart of man and says, let me tell you something. Don't think that God waits for you to actually commit adultery before he's going to judge you. The moment the thought of adultery is conceived in your heart, you have sinned before God, and as every bit as guilty of adultery,as the person who actually committed it. Because if you were given the opportunity to do it, you would do it. Don't deceive yourself. But now let us ask a question. Is the Lord Jesus here saying that every time you look at a woman and you happen to like her, you have already committed sin? Wow, that would be hard to walk around in the world. You'd say, I would have to go on not only with sunglasses, but with blinds. Because if I look at a girl and I think, wow, she's pretty. Hear me, I've said it. I've committed sin in my heart already. How can we live the Christian life? 而主耶稣这里的意思是怎么样呢？是不是说，那么这样你在世界上或在马路上在那儿走路，看见一个漂亮的女孩子，你就说哦，她真漂亮，这一想啊不得了，犯罪了。这一说的她漂亮，你不是这个什么意思？你说她漂亮，你是不是在心里面已经羡慕她了？所以你已经犯罪。哇，这样的这个生活实在难做。那么你在马路上。 最好不但是戴太阳眼镜啊，最好是把这个眼睛都涂黑了，这看也看不见什么东西。在马路上走，最好拿一根棍子在那儿。说瞎子最好了，因为瞎子不能犯罪，他看不见你。那这个瞎子才有福了，有眼睛的就没有福了。那这个是不是主耶稣的教训？
If that is the Lord's teaching, I'm afraid that we are all going to be in a hard way. So if a girl looks at a boy and says, "Wow, he's good looking," you have sins. You are ready for hell. Wow, you say this kind of teaching, let's get to the door, let me get out of here. I can't stand it. So perhaps the greatest blessing is to be blind so that you will not be able to be led into temptation. Is that what the Lord Jesus is saying? No, let's look carefully. The Lord Jesus is not saying things like this. And so that people are led with full of guilt complexes. Because after all, if you see a boy or a girl who is good looking, you can't help saying, good looking. But that does not mean that you have lusted after the person. What the Lord Jesus says, and here when you study the Word of God, every tense is very important. The tenses are very important. What do we have here? We have here in the original what is a present participle. That is to say, the present participle means there is a continuous looking, gazing at the person. It is not just one glimpse. And I look at a girl and say, oh, she's good looking. Or look at a boy and he's good looking, handsome guy. No, it is a continuous gazing at the person. Have you found somebody sort of staring at you, gazing at you until you feel very uncomfortable? What is this? It is this kind of gazing, looking at you all the time. And then with a certain lustful intent. Now, I think we in this world are familiar with people who do this exactly this kind of thing. Many times you see them in the cafes, you see them in the buses, you see a boy staring at a girl, sort of looking at her, and the very lustful intention is already written on his face. This is what the Lord Jesus means. Not that you just have a glance, that you cannot look at a woman, that somehow every look is already sinful, but that you are gazing, and then the next, which does not come out well in the English, the expression of intention, looking intently with a view, with the purpose of lusting after her. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying, specifically. A continuous looking with the purpose of lusting after her. Now that is more than just a glance, more than just a fleeting thought. It is an intention which is working and built up. The will is involved in this kind of action. It is not just a fleeting thought, because otherwise every time a thought passes your mind, you have already sinned. That would be terrifying. You will have to pursue every thought and repent for every thought. You'll spend all day repenting. Maybe that's a good thing, but that is not exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about here.
所以这里呢，主耶稣所讲的不是单单眼望一望一个女孩子或者女人望一个男孩子这样。 乃是这里呢，这意思原文里面现代式的意思就是用眼睛盯着一个人看，注目在这个人的身上，一直在注视这个人，看着这个人，而看着这个人的时候，带着一个淫乱的一种心机在那边，已经他的目的，这里指出目的，这个翻译的时候就很难翻出来。 就是带着这个目的，就是要犯淫乱的这种目的在那边。所以呢，不是说每一个男孩子看一下女孩子就已经犯罪，这样的话就不得了了。你结婚也不要结婚了，因为除非你看上一个女孩子，你哪里会跟她结婚呢？
啊，你除非看了她，你欢喜她，你说不得了了，我这个已经欢喜这个女孩子，我已经犯罪了。那这样我们大家都不要结婚了。那这样主耶稣已经说结婚已经是犯罪，这样的做法就当然不是主耶稣 的教训。So here the Lord Jesus is not saying that if you look at a girl and, or a girl looks at a boy and likes and desires this boy, she has or he has already sinned. For as we saw that if that is the case, we can't marry at all, because clearly you're not going to marry somebody that you don't desire. You don't marry somebody that you don't love, that you don't like, that you don't somehow find something desirable in that person. And if looking at, at a girl and desiring to have her is already sin, then anybody who marries is already involved in sin before he's gotten anywhere. The Lord Jesus is not talking about this. He is talking then about the attitude of sin. So having got this very clear in our minds, we see that sin is of the heart. And don't think that because you hide a sin in your heart, that you shall not be judged for it. Never get away with this idea. Sin in the heart, and this is the principle that the Lord is teaching here, that if you harbor a sin, you nourish that sin in your heart, not just a passing thought that flashes through your mind. You say, Lord, let me stop this. I won't have this. But a thought that you nourish, that you harbor, that you enjoy. The Lord says, be careful what you're thinking, because God will hold you to account for your thoughts. Now here we see the standard of purity, of righteousness, that the Lord requires of his disciples. The purity of heart. Do you remember? The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now he's telling us what purity of heart means. Purity of heart means this, that you do not harbor sin in your heart. Don't nourish the thoughts. Don't nourish the sin in your heart. Now, how important is it? How serious is this matter? The Lord Jesus says this, if there is sin in your heart, you've got to act so sternly and severely about it that if you have to take out an eye or chop off a hand, it is better that you do that than that your whole body goes into hell. 我们怎么样要对付罪呢？罪的严重性是怎么样的？罪的严重性就是你犯罪必须要有地狱的痛苦在那儿等着你，所以必须要避免这个痛苦，心里面不要犯罪。我们今天的教会必须要到这种程度，因为主耶稣的程度的要求就是这样，你做我的门徒的时候，你的心里面要洁净，不要想我外面没有犯罪就行了，因为上帝看着你的心，审判的日子的时候，上帝要看着你的心来审判你，你必须要仔细来考虑到这一点。所以你们做基督徒不要想好了我这个外表上没有犯什么罪，不要紧，上帝要看你的心来审判你，这是做基督徒的水准。 So we are called to a very high calling of righteousness. God examines our hearts. He knows what you are thinking right now and what you think in the eveningWhen did you think in the morning, but especially in the evening, when you are tired, when you lie upon your bed, and you do not discipline your thoughts, and then your thoughts begin to wander, and adulterous thoughts, fornication, thoughts of fornication begin to pass through your mind, that is the time to do something about it, and don't say, nobody sees, because God looks upon the heart.And now another thing is this, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That means to say, if you nourish those thoughts, one of these days you're going to have the chance to do it. And my, you're going to do it. And you're going to be sorry for it, because you're going to pay for it with God's holiness and justice. So be careful of what you think. We must purify the heart.我们心思意念是非常重要的，你们心里面想的是什么，上帝就要追究你所想的。特别是晚上疲倦的时候，常常我们发现是不是肉体软弱的时候，这个思想没有被好好的操纵的时候，控制的时候， 我们发现那个思想就乱来了，乱走了，乱动了，淫乱的思想就生出来了。那你心里面想不要紧，没有人看见了，没有人听见不要紧，直到上帝就看着你。所以做基督徒的要求是圣洁，上帝要依你的思想来审判你。Let us continue to pursue this more carefully and to analyze what the Lord Jesus is saying to us. Let us analyze what the Lord Jesus is saying to us. First, let us study the relationship of the heart to its members. The Lord Jesus goes on to say, now if you sin like this, then pluck out your eye. It's better for you to have your eye plucked out if you look lustfully at a woman in order to commit adultery with her, then that you should go into hell. Now what is the Lord Jesus saying? Is he saying literally, take a knife and gouge out your eye? Is he saying, okay, this hand of mine is ready to commit sin, to steal, to commit adultery, therefore I'll take a knife and wallop it off? You chop off the right hand. What about the left hand? The left hand can sin too. Huh? So having chopped off the right hand, the left hand is going to sin. And what do you do with this one? Chop that one off too. So what does the Lord Jesus mean? Does he mean literally that we should get a big knife and dispose of our hand? I think we should all be cripples long before we ever got to the end of this life. Huh? We should all, Christians, would be cripples, because after all, which one has never had a sinful thought passing through the mind? Who has not had some time a sinful thought and therefore promptly grabbed the knife? I think that surely every good Christian will be the crippled Christians by the end of the day. Is that what the Lord Jesus is telling us? Now surely, the Lord Jesus has just said that sin is of the heart. Then what's the use of chopping off my hand or gouging out my eye? Is not the lesson clear to us? That no matter what pain is involved, what cost is involved, then whatever you do, see to it that you don't commit sin. Because there is nothing more important in this world. There is nothing more important in this world than that you should be saved. You see, our eye, many people say, I would give my right eye for it. What do they mean by this? They mean that their eye is something very precious to them. Their eye is very precious to them. There is nothing more precious to you in your possession. I'm sure you'll be ready to give up your car, give away take it, so long as I can have my eye. Your eye is more precious to you. But the Lord Jesus is saying that. So let us not be too literalistically minded. When the Lord Jesus said of the Pharisees that they strain out their mosquito and they swallow a camel, then you say, wow, the Pharisees have a great big mouth, can swallow a camel. What kind of people were they? Well, I think we must not fall into this kind of absurdity. The Lord Jesus is not saying we should all go around with our kitchen knife sticking on our belt here, and the moment we think of sinning, we grab out the kitchen knife and wham, off it goes. Make sure we buy a nice sharp one in Chinatown. No. This is not the point. But the Lord is saying, so important is it that if you had to do it, then it'd be it'd be worth doing. That is to say, there is nothing more important. No matter the suffering, can you think of the pain that would be involved to take out an eye, to gouge it out? In those days, there was no anesthetics. Gouge it out. Whew, incredible. It almost makes you feel sick to think about it. And to chop the hand, yeesh. Think about that. But the Lord is saying, no matter what is the pain, no matter what is the cost, and the cost is very high. Because look, if you chop off your right hand, you can't work anymore. You are finished. Now how is the nurse going to work in the hospital with one hand? How are you going to work with one hand? You have become maimed, you're crippled, your livelihood is gone. So not only is the concept of suffering there, but the concept of the loss of everything is involved, to be maimed and crippled. But the Lord says it's better to even endure all that than to lose your salvation. Now, consider this. Because when I look at the Christians, I do not see that there is this understanding of salvation. I don't see there is this understanding of salvation at all. I see that there are Christians who still put many things, their profession, their work, everything else, as being somehow more important than the work of salvation. I wonder if someone may take the child. I think maybe some people are being disturbed. Whether 小宝贝是不是可以带到楼上去啊？ 或者是有一些人听到就觉得有点闪心啊。 So we must come to understand that there is simply nothing more important than the gospel. And yet I find people, when you speak to them about the gospel, what do they say? They say, I haven't got time. I will come if I have time. What kind of a concept is this? Do you think that there is something more important than salvation? You see, the error of this thinking is due to the fact that we think only of the temporal and we have failed to see the importance of the eternal. 我们得救是最重要的一件事情，我们必须要把这个暂时的东西看到它的暂时的价值，就是它不是那么重要的一件事情，而要必须把永久的事情看到永久的价值。但是很多人，你跟他们讲到福音的工作，或者来参加聚会，或者来崇拜主，他们说，哦，我太忙了，等我这个工作没有那么忙的时候， 我来参加，这样的人眼睛已经是瞎了，他们的眼睛不需要挽出来，这个眼睛已经看不见了，挽都不需要挽，因为他们不懂得永久东西的价值是什么。And those who simply do not see spiritual values, there is no need to gouge out their eye because they simply don't see the value of eternal things. They simply don't see. They are blind already. To gouge out their eye is no value. These words are being addressed to Christians. But now, I would like to touch on one other important point. It is this. Does the Lord Jesus mean it so figuratively that there is no particular meaning to the cutting off of the hand and the gouging out of the eye, apart from saying that we must understand the importance of being saved? Not at all. We must understand that for a Christian, the whole body must be brought under subjugation. This is a teaching that many Christians don't seem to understand. The discipline of the body. Did you know that salvation is closely tied up with the discipline of the body? That this body and its feelings, its lusts, its desires must be firmly controlled. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, as we have seen before. Why? Because self-control is essential to salvation. Did you know that? In those who are going to be at the Bible study next Friday, will notice that Paul spoke about judgment of self-control and righteousness in Acts 24. Surprising, isn't it? Why did he speak about self-control? Because salvation is closely tied up with self-control. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, that I bring my body under slavery, lest having preached to others, I myself should be cast away. I bring my body into slavery. I subjugate my body. I give my body black eye. How do you compare to that? Why does Paul do that? Is he just somebody who likes to beat himself? Is he an ascetic who likes to punish himself? Not at all. Paul is no ascetic. There are some monks, for example, who sleep on hard beds because they think that this earns them merit with God. That's wrong. We don't earn any merit. But salvation has to do with the control, the subjugation of the body. And I wish that there were time to develop this aspect of the Lord's teaching. But we'll content ourselves today with just mentioning it and coming back to it on some other occasion. If you want to be saved, if you want to be sure that you're not going to be disqualified at the end, understand that you need to bring your body under subjugation, control, discipline. And one of the very good ways of disciplining the body is fasting. Did you know that too? Fasting is little understood today, but it is still an important element in the teaching of the Lord, an important element in the teaching of the church. very much practiced in the early church, not to earn salvation, but to discipline the body, to bring the body under subjugation.
我们看到主耶稣说关于瞻守弯眼的这个教训，不单单是让我们看见得救的重要性，得救重要的什么地步，就是眼睛弯出来，把手沾掉，都是那么重要。但是还有另外的意思在里面，就是保罗很清楚懂得这个意思，就是我们肢体，我们这个肉体必须要受训练，受镇压。所以保罗在哥林多前书第九章第二十七节那里说，我们必须他把这个身体呢来镇压他，来把他这个克服身体里面的私欲，他打击他自己的身体。他这个打击自己的身体，不是像有一些和尚或者像一些东方的圣人用这种办法，或者呢可以再得到一点在来世里面得到福气。不是，我们必须要懂得做基督徒要是一种战斗，但是战斗跟什么对象，常常就是连我们的肉体就是我们的敌人。所以能够克服自己是一个很重要的一个任务，把这个身体这个肉体的私欲情欲都来制服克服，使得我们能够在这个属灵的战斗里面得胜。如果我们这个肉体上还不能得胜，哪里在属灵的战斗上可以得胜？ If we cannot conquer our body, if we cannot have the victory over ourselves, our greed, our lusts, how are we going to win any spiritual battles? The victory in spiritual battle, then let us understand clearly, begins with the victory over self and over the flesh. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that I bring my body into slavery. He says that in many other ways. He says the same thing in Galatians 5:24, 6:14, Romans 8:13. In all these places, he speaks of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. What does that mean? That means bring the deeds of the flesh to death. That means do not allow them to find any expression. It's strange that today in the teaching of the church, this kind of important teaching finds virtually no expression. The only emphasis is always on being saved. Now, being saved, there's a lot more to it than just being baptized. There is the battle, the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And the first step is to win the victory in ourselves. That's why it is said in Proverbs, he who overcomes himself, who brings himself under control, is greater than he who conquers seven cities. That's very true, you know. There are people who conquer the whole world and can't conquer themselves. And they end up being defeated, ruined, destroyed, so that they lose everything else that they ever conquered. The victory must be won first and foremost in ourselves. But here there are other questions when we meditate into the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says here that so important it is that we must win the victory in ourselves. Why? So that we do not go down into hell. You see, if you commit the sin of adultery, whether in your heart or in actual practice, the Old Testament sentence upon adultery is death. It is a mortal sin, a sin punishable by death. For that kind of sin, there was no sacrifice in the temple. For that kind of sin, the sentence was death. How to get forgiveness for such a sin? There is no discussion here of forgiveness. So let us ask the question, if this is so, then when you were not a Christian, did you not commit that kind of sin sometime or other? Maybe you actually committed adultery and fornication, never mind in your hearts. But if that is the standard of justice, then even if you only committed it in your heart, you are already, by the standard of God, sentenced to hell. You have committed mortal sin, sin punishable by death, for which there is no sacrifice in the temple. You see, in the Old Testament, in the temple, the only sacrifice that was available was sacrifice for sins of ignorance, sins unwittingly committed, not for deliberate sin. Sin that is planned, cool, calculated, worked out,
until it was conceived and executed. For that kind of sin, the temple sacrifice, there was no sacrifice for such sin. So then, what happens to all of us who committed sins before we came to know the Lord? Not let alone those we commit after becoming Christians. What's going to happen to us? Are we not all already condemned to hell? Is it not clear then that there is no living person who can avoid the disaster of hell? Is there anybody here who can say, I never committed sins in my thoughts? Think of the sins you already actually committed in your body, never mind the things that you did in your mind. Then how? How is any living person to be justified on the teaching of Jesus? We are all finished. How shall we be saved? You see that this very teaching of the Lord brings out the whole question of salvation. It sets a standard such that no living man, no flesh can be justified before God. How then shall we escape the disaster of hell? Don't you see then that in the light of this teaching that the Lord Jesus is giving, he is saying exactly what Paul is saying, exactly what the Lord is saying, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all finished. We are all condemned men, condemned to die. Now, if you are not a Christian, then you best attend carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus here. The Lord is saying categorically to you, you have got only one future awaiting you. That future is hell. How are we going to be saved? Now you can see that the Lord's teaching presupposes, it implies, it establishes the need for salvation, establishes the need for the forgiveness of sins, which we are unable for ourselves to achieve. Because here it says, don't commit it, but it doesn't tell us what to do if we have already committed it. What are we going to do? Well, the Lord Jesus, thanks be to God, has told us elsewhere what we are to do. We are to repent. He's opened, you remember, we started all our teaching on the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He started with the words, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the first word in the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Be totally changed. Change the whole direction of your life. Here we can see the teaching of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus here says, 凡是心里面犯罪的人, 不要说你在肉体上去犯罪, 你在心里面这样犯罪的人, 已经你的面前所要走的道路, 所要等待的下场, 就是地狱。 那这样一来的话, 显然就引起另外一个问题。 什么问题呢? 就是说我们每一个人, 没有信主以前, 必然已经犯过这种罪。 不是这个罪就是别的罪, 反正心里面已经犯了这种罪。 那这样一来, 我们每一个人的下场, 我们每一个人所要等待的, 就是束手待毙, 就是实在没有别的办法了, 就是要死了, 就要下到地狱里面去。 那这样不是很显然的吗? 主耶稣这样的教训, 就是使得每一个不信主的人, 就是说任何人, 在主的面前, 已经是有亏欠了，每一个人在上帝的面前已经是罪魁了，每一个人在上帝的面前已经只有地狱的前途了。那应该怎么做呢？不是这样的教训使得我们没有任何人都没有盼望？不是的，因为主耶稣我们开头在这里讲到的时候已经看到，主耶稣一开始讲到的时候， 他第一句话就是说你们要悔改，因为上帝的国临到了。所以主耶稣第一句话就是悔改，他的教训里面已经叫我们每个人要悔改。但是悔改够不够呢？因为犯奸淫的罪，在旧约里面的审判就是死。圣殿里没有祭可以使得你的罪得到洁净。 在旧约里面，奸淫的罪是得到死刑的罪，没有希望，没有用处到圣殿里面去献祭，没有祭可以献，因为旧约里的时代里面，你看旧约的时候就知道， 奸淫的罪必然犯奸淫的罪，一切所有的这些个人都判死刑。那这样来的话，那么我们说就是悔改也没有用了，因为审判死刑，那个时候旧约里面犯奸淫的时候到官的面前说对不起我悔改了，没有用处，你悔改也没有用处，判死刑。那么怎么办呢？为什么不悔改没有用处？就是因为我刚才所说的，圣殿里面的祭没有一个可以遮盖你的罪。但是感谢主，在主耶稣的教训里面让我们知道，主耶稣来的就是为了要拯救罪人，所以他的教训里面一方面让我们看到罪的可怕，另外一方面当我们看到罪的可怕的时候，我们就知道上帝的救恩是何等伟大。你没有看到罪恶 的可怕的时候，你就不懂得上帝的救恩伟大在什么地方。所以现在我们看到主耶稣的教训，比如说在马可福音第十章第四十五节那里说，我来为的就是把我自己献上，作为一个活祭，作为拯救万人的这个献祭。From all this now we begin to see that all this causes us to realize when we see that how God looks at sin, then we realize the terribleness of sin, the fearfulness of sin. Understand this if you are not a Christian, and understand it clearly that God in His holiness will have nothing else to do with you than to consign you to hell if you persist in sin. This universe of God is meant to be sinless, and He is going to remove every stain of sin. You can be sure of that. There are some people who say, why doesn't God do something about the problems of the world? Why doesn't He do it? Let me tell you, He's doing something about it every minute. There is no point asking such questions. He is going to remove every bit and every stain of sin that is in this world. Now, if you hang on to sin, He'll have to remove you with all the sin. But thanks be to God also that He has given us an alternative. That having caused us to see the terribleness of sin, the Lord Jesus shows us now why He came into the world. He started His teaching, as we saw, with the words, repent. But you say that there is no use to repent because this sin has no forgiveness under the Old Testament law. Adultery is punishable by sin, by death. There is no sacrifice to cover it. So what's the use of repenting? True, the Old Testament could not save you. But thanks be to God. The Lord Jesus says, for example, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I have come, the Son of Man has come, to give His life a ransom for many. He came precisely to save you. That is what He came for. And when we partake of communion, every week when we take communion, it is reminding us again that if it were not for His body and for His blood, all of us would be ending up in hell. Not one of us would avoid the disaster of hell. And take that thought to you, to communion, every time you come to communion, think about it. If it were not for this body, Lord, if it were not for this blood, I would be going right down there and spend all eternity in destruction. Ponder carefully then the wonder of the Lord's teaching. But then shall we say, therefore, because the body and blood of Christ has redeemed me, therefore I am free to continue in sin? Now, this thinking is too common among Christians, and I have dealt with this before, and I shall not delay here on this point now. But remember, if these words are not addressed to the disciples, then who are they addressed to? The Lord Jesus is here talking to His disciples, and He says, He warns them, be careful how you think. And this same teaching is repeated in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9. It's also repeated again in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. To emphasize the importance of His words here. The important sayings of the Lord Jesus are repeated again to emphasize the importance. That, you know, we are slow to learn. Often we hear a thing once, we don't remember it. The Lord repeats it that we may remember it, that it may enter into our dull spiritual understanding. Now, if these words are not addressed to the disciples, then who are they addressed to? For to speak to a non-Christian about that he will cut his hand or gouge his eye out, is not even not a possibility that he would even consider. You would be throwing your pearls before swine.
No, no.
Think carefully about this. The Lord is warning his disciples. Don't think that because I have redeemed you with my blood, don't think that because I have come to put down my life as a ransom for you, that therefore you can think of going on in sin. Don't dream of it. Paul says, God forbid, don't let the thought even cross your mind. Don't deceive yourself. God is not deceived. And he goes on to say, as we saw the other time, that no fornicators, no sinners, no adulterers, and he has...